At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
While listening to Doing Cast.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Mr. President, we have a situation.
Once again, a UFO has landed in America. The only country UFOs ever seem to land in.
Humans of Earth,
my quest has led me to your planet.
Give it to me now!
You should in no way take any of this personally. It's just business. Galaxar out.
Somebody think of something and think of it fast.
Mr. President, we need a Hail Mary pass. We need raw power. We need
monsters.
Say hello to Insectosaurus.
Don't scare Insectosaurus.
It's okay, buddy.
I'm not gonna let this human hurt you.
Here we have the missing link, a 20,000-year-old fish man.
Papa's a little out of shape.
This handsome fellow is Dr. Cockroach, PhD.
I'm not a quack. I'm a mad scientist.
Oh, dear.
We call this an indestructible gelatinous mass.
Hi, I'm Bob.
As you can see, he has no brain.
Turns out you don't need one.
And our latest addition. She's 50 stories tall.
Excuse me.
With enormous strength and size.
What do people scream when they see you coming? You know, like, look out! Here comes...
Susan.
Ooh, I just scared myself.
All right, monsters, move out!
Welcome! We are here to destroy you!
Fort!
I got him, you guys! I got... Don't worry, I won't let go! I'm wearing him down! Hot dogs!
A monstrous event in true 3D. Coming March 2009.
Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Tooncast Beyond, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network and Audible.com. I am your host, Dave Joe and Mike, and joining me once again is Sketch1984. Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
That's good. And today we're going to be choosing sides, either monsters or aliens. Oh, God. How do these DreamWorks films get such great actors to be voices, and yet the film itself sucks?
I didn't think this film sucked. I thought it was kind of middle of the road-ish. Had some funny moments.
Had some funny moments, yes, but... The whole time I was watching this back before the recording, it was like... Okay, when's Jack Nicholson going to pop up? Or when's George Foreman going to pop up? I swear to God, this is an animated version of Mars Attacks. It is! It's Mars Attacks with monsters and aliens is what it is.
I'm just waiting for the disembodied head
of Michael J. Fox to come around the corner.
Really not. No, I disagree with that. Other than involving aliens in both cases, they couldn't be that much more different.
Mm. All right, to set the stage for the people listening out there in podcast land, Monsters vs. Aliens is a 2009 American computer-animated 3D science fiction action comedy film produced by DreamWorks Animation and distributed by Paramount Pictures. The computer-animated movie was the first to be directly produced in stereoscopic 3D format instead of being converted into 3D. After completion, which added $15 million to the film's budget.
But they didn't make that back.
We'll find out about that later. The film was scheduled for a May 2009 release, but the release date was moved to March 27th, 2009. It was released on DVD and Blu-ray, blah, 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 blah. Did you see this in theaters?
No. No, I did not see this in theaters.
Me either.
I have a almost violent opposition to going to see movies in 3D.
Same here.
I only saw a few movies in 3D intentionally. I saw Toy Story 3 in 3D because I figured Pixar would do a good job. And they did.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I go see a movie in 3D, particularly like a live action one,
yeah,
it's just not appealing to me because the screen's just darker. Yeah. And the 3D stops working with my eyes about halfway through the film or even before then. So that's just paying extra for a movie, and I'm not into that.
I think, and this is, we've talked about 3D on the Geekcast Radio Network before. 3D is a gimmick that was created in the 80s, and it will never outlive that original design of it, I don't think. Because when I think of 3D, I think of the actual, the 3D style of, shit's going to pop off the screen at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think of, when I was, oh God, was it 15 or 16? I don't know. I was 15 or 16. I was living in Florida with my mom, and we went to Disney. And at the time, I don't know, there was I don't remember if there was a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids TV show or if it was one of those, third or fourth movies that came out or whatever. They had a Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 3D ride there. Mm-hmm. And, you put on the red and blue glasses. And keep in mind, this is 95, 96, so was that like God knows how many years ago? This is like 17 years ago. So, 3D for me is, in the scene when the mouse gets, in the part of the movie when the rat or the mouse gets loose and they move something under your feet to make it feel like a mouse, or when the dog sneezes on the screen and it, they splash water on you, or that to me is 3D. I have never not seen a difference in a regular movie and a 3D showing. I've gone to several different movies in 3D simply because at the time the theater I go to was not offering a choice. They're like, yeah, it's
freaking Harold and Kumar, man. I can't believe how much I paid to see that movie.
Well, yeah. I haven't seen any of the Harold and Kumar movies.
Well, but the first two are funny. The third was not worth seeing in 3D.
Yeah. But the thing here is that like you said, and I agree with what you said, 'cause it's the same thing I've said. When I went to see a 3D movie, all the glasses do is make the screen darker, and even with not wearing the glasses, yeah, the screen will shake a little bit or whatever else because it's supposedly in 3D and you're supposed to be able to see a difference. I've never seen a difference. I did not see Monsters, to bring it back around. I did not see Monsters vs. Aliens until before we recorded this show. It wasn't, again, I've said throughout and I will continue to say throughout this season of Tooncast Beyond, so far, outside of the Shrek movies, outside of like Megamind, B movie, a lot of the How to Train Your Dragon Race, outside of those films, DreamWorks movies for me have sucked to this point.
I feel like this movie was the warm up for Megamind.
Oh, most definitely, most definitely, most definitely. Even when we reviewed. A couple weeks ago, JT and I talked about Kung Fu Panda and Kung Fu Panda 2. I enjoyed Kung Fu Panda 2 a hell of a lot more than I did the original because it actually had a good story to it.
Instead of, basically saying, you can be a total slob, kids, and still be the hero.
Well, essentially, Kung Fu Panda 1 is Shallow Hal animated is what it is. Oh, crap.
You make really weird jumps to conclusion.
What? Who,
weird,
me?
Weird connect. Shallow Hal animated?
Yeah.
But
it's got Jack Black in it.
You see, that's... That,
what?
No.
What?
No! It has It's nothing like Shallow Hal.
A little bit.
No, it's not. Just because it has Jack Black in it doesn't mean that they are anything alike.
Sure it does. Anyway, Monsters vs. Aliens has a stellar voice cast. It's got Reese Witherspoon as Susan Murphy. It's got it's actually Will Harnett, who is the voice of what's that character's name? The voice of the missing link, even though behind the voice actors has it shown up as David Kay. David Kay did do some voice work for it, but it wasn't in the actual movie, I don't think. You got Seth Rogen as...
That makes sense. He probably did, like, the little cartoons that DreamWorks has released since. I can see how that would be similar enough to work.
Well, yeah, yeah. You got Seth Rogen as Bob. I almost called it Blob, but it's Bob. You got House. Oh, God. As Dr. Cockroach. Yeah, exactly. It's House in cockroach form. That so fits, actually.
This movie has really, really fitting actors for the roles.
You got Jack Bauer himself, Kiefer Sutherland as General W.R. Munger. Get him an iron suit, and there you go. Anyway, sorry. Jeffrey Tambor as Carl Murphy. Julie White as Wendy Murphy. Rainn Wilson is also in it.
He's the alien.
Yeah.
And he's great as the alien.
Yeah.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. Very, very awesome.
But the crown jewel of this cast is Stephen Colbert as the president. Love it.
I take it you're a Colbert fan.
Oh, ever since Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law.
Well, I guess he's living his American dream in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
God, now I really want some Ben and Jerry's. Damn it!
You can get it after the podcast.
Yeah. All right. So, any other thoughts on the overall voice cast? I love it. Honestly, for me, I liked it. I think it's outside of like some of the other movies I just mentioned earlier. Out of the ones that I haven't really paid attention to, like this one, like some of the other ones, up until having to watch them for the show, I think this is my favorite cast out of the DreamWorks movies that I had not paid attention to.
I would definitely say this is a very well cast movie.
Yeah,
like you got Will Arnett as a show off character. That's fantastic. You have Hugh Laurie as a mad scientist. That's fantastic. You have Rainn Wilson from The Office, who's always, you know, scheming as Dwight. He's so perfect for an evil alien that's got a chip on his shoulder. And you have Kiefer Sutherland as the general guy. And he's always good in those militaristic roles because of 24. And Stephen freaking Colbert is the president. That is just amazing. Also, Seth Rogen is a mindless blob. That makes sense.
It's because that's what Seth Rogen is.
And Reese Witherspoon was very good as Susan.
Yeah.
Susan.
Yeah.
Here comes Susan.
Yeah, that doesn't ring true at all.
A girl that's just doesn't really understand what's happening to her, and just like, but I'm normal still. No, you're not. You're gigantic now.
I did like the scene when she was essentially using vehicles as roller skates.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
It's pretty awesome. All right, getting into the plot here, you've got. Bride-to-be Susan Murphy is struck by a meteorite on the day of her wedding to weather reporter Derek Dietl, who is played by Paul Rudd. Instead of killing her, the meteorite exposes her to the substance Quantonium, causing her to rapidly grow to over 50 feet tall. Alerted to the meteorite first by an Arctic base and then by a priest at Susan's wedding, the military arrives and captures Susan. She is given the codename Ginormica. Where's Jennifer Hale and Giganta when you really need her? And sent to a top secret secure facility headed by General W.R. Monger. There she meets her fellow monster inmates, Bob, a brainless, indestructible, gelatinous blob, Dr. Cockroach, Ph.D., a mad scientist with the head and abilities of a cockroach, the Missing Link, an amphibious fish-ape hybrid, an Insectosaurus, a massive grub that is even larger than Susan. Alien named Galaxar detects quantonium radiation on Earth and deploys a gigantic robot probe to find it. After the robot lands, the President of the United States, played by Colbert, attempts to make first contact with it by playing the Axel F on a keyboard. Oh, God. I love the Axel F theme, but I'm sorry. When you're trying to make contact with an alien race, that's so not the theme song you should be playing. Oh, my God.
That was a funny bit.
So, yeah, the whole general plot here is that Galaxar wants to take over the world and find this Qutonium crap. Or Quantonium, or whatever the hell it's called. And they have to... The monsters are the good guys, the aliens are the bad guys, and they have... The monsters have to defeat the aliens' robot thing. Outside of the whole, hey, we need to save the planet thing, is there an actual plot line here?
Yeah, the plot is basically Susan coming to terms with being a monster. And also finding her individual self-worth, because she used to latch all of her ambition onto her soon-to-be husband.
Right.
Who's a twat. So, you know.
Yeah.
She puts all of her self-worth into her fiancé instead of herself. And she realizes by the amazing things that she can now do as Ginormica that she has a place in the world, and she's not just going to be riding off his coattails anymore. She's going to be her own person, and she's going to do good because she's been given the ability to do so.
Yeah.
Other than that, it's stopping the alien.
Yeah, pretty much. Why does the heroic welcome home remind me of the end of A New Hope? The only thing that was missing was metal.
That everybody thinks of with a heroic welcome home.
Oh my God. God, the ending of this movie is just—it's just so set up for a sequel. It just is.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, this isn't one that I'd be watching again. I like it. I like the voice cast, but as far as the actual story of it, as far as actually, you know, who they have to fight, it didn't resonate with me, I don't think. Yes, I agree with what you said about Susan's story and about her, you know, coming to terms with her own life and everything else. And I like that part of it. But as far as like good versus bad, this was not a very good DreamWorks.
It's not a very compelling narrative.
No, not at all.
it's just silly and funny, yeah. And DreamWorks' attempt to like make a monster movie.
Yeah.
To make a kaiju movie, if you will, like Godzilla.
with
Mothra, sorta.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. The film is the third highest grossing animated film of 2009 with a total of $381 million and change, behind Up and Ice Age: Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
It was the Ice Age.
I can't believe this is behind Ice Age.
I mean, obviously it would be behind Up, but
well, yeah,
behind Ice Age: Dawn of the Dinosaurs. Which Ice Age was that? Was that like the third one?
I think that was the third one. Yeah.
Man, they've been making Ice Age movies since I was in high school.
Yeah, yeah. You've got oh god, that makes me feel really old.
Actually, I think the first one might have even come out when I was in junior high. Oh, man. Oh, why, God. Why do they keep making more? Oh, right. Because people don't see them.
Yeah. Monsters vs. Aliens did fairly well at the awards stuff. It won an Annie Award for Best Storyboarding in an Animated Feature. It's been nominated for a bunch of stuff. It won a Saturn Award for Best Animated Film. Very, very awesome. As far as the ranking, being the Edge and Replacement Crew, I give it a 3. You know, I don't think it's, for me personally, I don't think it's something I don't think it's something that I would actually add to a DVD collection. I'm dying over here. The aliens are killing me. I don't think it's something I would actually add to a DVD collection, but it's something I can watch again if I really wanted something fun to watch on Netflix or you know, rent online or something like that. What about you?
Yeah, I'd give it a 3.
Mm-hmm. And of course, for the home media and all that stuff, it was released on DVD and Blu-ray in the U.S. and Canada on September 29, 2009. We also have several different short stuff that they've done. Besides the main film Monsters vs. Aliens franchise, also includes a video game, short film Bob's Big Break, and two television specials, Monsters vs. Aliens, Mutant Pumpkins from Outer Space, and Monsters vs. Aliens, Night of the Living Carrots. Where's Bugs Bunny when you need him? A TV series based on the film will air on Nickelodeon, apparently.
Yeah, that still hasn't happened.
Yeah, what is it about? Like, okay, I get the whole thing of wanting to cash in on your film, but what is it? And I've only really noticed it with DreamWorks, you know.
Oh, let's not be coy. This is what Disney did in the 90s.
Okay, yes, but there's a big difference. There wasn't a Gummy Bears movie. Okay, there was a Gummy Bears television series. There wasn't a DuckTales movie. There was a DuckTales television series. And yes, you are correct. You know, the late 90s to the early 2000s, they were, you know, they had Aladdin, the TV series, Little Mermaid, the TV series, Lilo and Stitch, the TV series. Yes, I do agree. But I'm just saying, like, now, like, I would say from, well, 2001 to now, last 12 years or
the Emperor's New
11 Marvel. Years, it just seems like... It just seems like TV series based on movies are popping up everywhere. I mean, hell.
That's been going on for years, man. There was a Police Academy show. There was The Mask. There was Ace Ventura. There was Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, God. Yeah, don't remind me. I understand the concept of, hey, let's turn the movie into a TV series. I understand the overall general concept, but I'm saying, like, with DreamWorks specifically, they're making television series out of their movies. Some of the movies don't even need a TV. Like this to me, okay, sure, if it gets a sequel, fine. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it needs an ongoing television series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this would work for a Monster of the Week scenario, obviously. So
yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah. But it basically, DreamWorks, their biggest thing is movies, but they're trying to expand into other venues. So they try, first, you know, give them some credit. They first try these things out as those specials before they go hog wild with making shows out of them. So they kind of test the waters first to see if people are going to buy into more of this brand. And then they go full force into TV production. And I, on paper, would you think that a show about the penguins of Madagascar was going to be a success?
Fuck yeah, I love the penguins.
Well, there you go.
But that's the thing. Like for me, those are the only characters that stick out in those films to me. Those are the only characters I enjoy in those films.
I mean, do you want a Shrek cartoon about Shrek? No.
We have the four movies. Why would we? You know, we have the four movies. We have the Halloween special. We have the holiday special that they did. And I understand that DreamWorks is testing stuff out with these specials, and I like that they're testing the stuff out, but have you ever just watched a movie and, you know, watched it all the way through and be like, okay, that's, you know, that it had a beginning, middle, and end, and it put a period on what that movie was, and it's like, yeah, okay, that was a great movie. If they make more, fine. If they don't, fine. But as is, it doesn't need a television series. It's, you know, the movie is, it had
most
an ending.
Most movies should be that way.
Yeah.
And movies just shouldn't rely on a continuation.
Right. Well, that's Holly Weird for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I guess we're going to go to the commercial break and we'll come back with some final thoughts.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man here, and I'm swinging by the Geekcast Radio Network.
You can now hear the Geekcast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear Geekcast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter Geekcast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you in your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code Geekcast Radio when you register.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the internet's number one and longest running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Atkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right. And we, hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we, okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the Geekcast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Come on, man.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds
good. Yeah, that's all right.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh. Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
Pixels in the Animation is the next cartoon review podcast series in the Geekcast Radio Network's long history of review series. We've had Transformers, He-Man, and Mask as far as the cartoon review podcasts we have done. Now we bring in TV's Mr. Neil as he and TFG and Mike break down 9 video game cartoon series. Steve Megatron will join us for the Mega Man and Sonic episodes. We'll be reviewing and analyzing every episode of the Mario, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Donkey Kong, and Sonic cartoons. You can expect us to go in-depth and also talk about the game franchises that spawned these cartoons. So tune in summer 2013 as we find the pixels in the animation.
Movie Week in Review is the Geekcast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on geekcastradio.com.
For you, the listeners of TuneCast Beyond, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. Use audibletrial.com/geekcastradio. Final thoughts on Monsters vs. Aliens?
That's pretty good. It's entertaining. Nothing too groundbreaking, just fun.
I enjoyed it, but like I said earlier, it's not something I could rewatch multiple times, whereas if the other better monster movie with, you know, Crystal, if Monsters, Inc. came on, I could watch that so many times, because it's just... And that's what I find really funny about DreamWorks and Pixar. They're essentially trying to best each other at every single turn with their films. I mean, sure, there's many, many differences, but like you've pointed out before about certain aspects of comparing stuff to other stuff, and it's like, holy crap, that's right. I don't know. I liked Monsters vs. Aliens. It's a decent film to watch maybe once or twice a year, or once every 2 or 3 years, something like that, but it's not something I can
watch. Yeah, I wouldn't watch it more than once a year.
Yeah, it's not something I can watch more than once a year. You got anything you want to pimp out or anything?
No, not so much. I'm still doing reviews for nickandmore.com on occasion. Quite a bit less than I used to. Like in 2010, I did a lot of reviews for that. In 2011, I did a pretty decent amount, but I've been kind of slacking this year. So,
slacker.
There's that.
Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast Beyond. There are still ways to get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com. You can comment on each and every episode post. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. You can also send us email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is TuneCast Beyond. Mine is TFJ and Mike. What is your Twitter?
Sketch1984.
You can also follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. Call the voicemail line. Tell us the show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast Beyond and wish you'll join us next time when we will be talking about a Megamind. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Sketch 1984.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.